To Hebrews 7, everyone. As we continue our journey through Hebrews tonight. So Hebrews is about a person. Who? Anybody remember? About the Lord Jesus Christ. As the high priest. Chapter 7, which we looked at last week as a whole, is about who? Anybody remember? Christina, Melchizedek. And we came to the conclusion that Melchizedek had to be who? Jesus. And so it was what they call an Old Testament theophany, which is an appearance of the Lord as a human in the Old Testament. It's not the only one. It looks like he also was the captain of the Lord's host. He appeared at the burning bush, but in this case, he appeared as a man, as the king of Salem, the king of righteousness, as the priest of the Most High God of a different order. He wasn't of the Aaronic priesthood, as we saw. And so we looked at the chapter as a whole last week, but tonight we just look at a piece of it. It's more of a teaching time because there's a little embedded gem in here about tithing that is quite amazing. So let's look at it. Verse 4, "Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is written, witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him." So paid tithes in Abraham. Let's pray. Pray for your wisdom, Lord, as we study your word together this evening. Use it to teach us and grow us in your faith and meet with us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, the emphasis is on the greatness of Melchizedek as the great priest, as the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also find an interesting truth in this passage. Because if you've ever met a Christian who believes that tithing is not for the New Testament age, I have, and maybe you have. This is one of the best passages to show them. Because what it's showing us is that tithing was taking place before there was a law. Remember, the law didn't come until Moses. Here we're talking about Abraham giving tithes to a priest. Hundreds of years before Moses. So, what that tells us, and again, when you meet somebody who says, "Oh, I don't believe in tithing," when somebody says that, I say two things. I say, first of all, if you don't believe in tithing in the New Testament, that's totally fine. Because the Bible says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So we as New Testament Christians should be giving more than the tithe anyway. And I said, secondly, let's look at Hebrews chapter 7. Because Hebrews chapter 7 shows us that tithing was taking place prior to the law. Which means that it has been a principle of the Lord prior to the law. Which means it's pre-law. And then God uses it to teach us a truth about the Levitical priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood. And so as we saw there in verse 5, He's equated, first of all, we learn about the tithe that it is a tenth. We learn that that's what the word means because he says in verse 4, Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils, but then he goes on to say in verse 5 that the Levites have a commandment to take tithes of the people. So he's saying they're the same thing, they're interchangeable, and they are. Because that's what the word tithe means, it means tenth. But this just settles that for us, doesn't it? So yes, in the Old Testament law, like in Leviticus and other places, the Jews were commanded to tithe to the priests, the Levitical priests. No question about it. It was carried on in the law. But as it says there, verse 7, without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. So as we saw last week, Melchizedek is Jesus, or was Jesus appearing in human form. Abraham, the first Jew, the beginning of a new nation, God's people, gave tithes till Melchizedek when he was returning from rescuing Lot's family from being captured. And we're reminded there in verse 6, he whose descent is not counted, that Jesus didn't have a beginning, Jesus doesn't have an end because he's God. And so he received tithes of Abraham, the less is blessed of the better. He's saying that the less Abraham is blessed of the better, Jesus, which is even true for us. And so as it says in verse 8, here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Current tense. So it says that Melchizedek is still alive. That has to be Jesus. Amen? And as I may so say, Levi also who received tithes paid tithes in Abraham. That phrase is a very important phrase, because it's saying that the Levitical priesthood, who was commanded in the law to take tithes of the people to keep the upkeep of the tabernacle so that the priests could eat, because they weren't allowed to have land. Remember, they didn't get an inheritance of land. So they lived off the tithes. Now, they had to give tithes. They had to give a tithe of the tithe, like it works in the New Testament church. It's very similar. But what it's telling us is that the Levitical priesthood essentially tithed to Melchizedek because they were still not created. They were future, but they were, as he said, essentially in Abraham as the founder of the Jewish nation, who would go on to be the keepers of the law. He's saying, therefore, Levi, through Abraham, tithed to Melchizedek, showing us that the legal system or the law system gave tithes to the Melchizedek system, Jesus. I know that sounds a bit complicated, but what's important in all of this is, first of all, we're taught that the Melchizedek priesthood is greater than the Levitical priesthood, which we mentioned last week. But we also find that tithing is pre-law, and that's important. If we're going to teach that Christians should tithe, and I believe most of us believe that we should, this passage helps us with that. Now, there are some other verses, and we'll look at them quickly. Go to Matthew 23. The Lord Jesus Christ, toward the end of his ministry, actually mentioned tithing. And because the law was winding down, Jesus had opportunity, if you will, to essentially say that the tithing could stop, since the law was about to stop, because Matthew chapter 23 is the same chapter where Jesus essentially withdraws the offer of the kingdom at the end of the chapter, where he says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them which sent it. How often while they gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered the chickens under her wings, but you would not. Therefore your house is left unto you desolate." But just prior to making that declaration, down in verse 23, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So he's not condemning the fact that they're tithing. He's pointing out the fact that they were getting silly about their tithe, to the point that they would even, you know, okay, I have these spices that somebody gave me. I need to pour out one-tenth of these spices and take them to the temple. So they were just getting so legalistic about it because, well, they're trying to earn heaven, right? It was very important to them that they keep every jot and tittle of the law and every jot and tittle of the additional stuff that had been added by the scribes and Pharisees over the past centuries. And part of that was they were super-duper meticulous about their tithe. And Jesus is saying to them, you have lost the plot, basically. You think you're going to earn heaven by doing stuff, and it isn't going to work. But what he says is you left out the important things like judgment, mercy, and faith. He says, these things you should have done, and of course, not leave the other undone. He's saying, yes, it's right to tithe. Right there, he had an opportunity to say, you shouldn't be doing all that. He didn't say that. He said, you should be doing that, but you also should be judgment, mercy, and faith. You understand what he's saying there? So right there was an opportunity for Jesus to say, okay, the tithing is of the law, and it's not needed anymore because the dispensation of law is about to end, but he didn't. He commended it. One more time, Luke chapter 11 and verse 42. Luke chapter 11, verse 42, it's a similar passage, but it's worded a little bit differently. He says, Luke 11, 42, woe unto you, Pharisees, ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. So again, he's commending tithing. Now, admittedly, in the church epistles, the word tithe is not mentioned, unless you want to call Hebrews a church epistle, which it really kind of isn't. But we do have the principle, and let's go to 1 Corinthians 16 and understand that principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and teaching them about none other than giving to the Lord. And there's some basic principles here that are very important for us to get a hold of if we're going to understand tithing. So firstly, he says, verse 2, upon the first day of the week. So what we see there, if we're going to talk about principles, is that it's supposed to be God first. That's God's day, right? The first day of the week is which day? It's Sunday. The first day of the week is Sunday, the day that God rested. No, it's not. It's the first day of the week. God rests on the seventh day of the week. But why the first day of the week? Because that is the beginning. It's a new week. And how many times are we told in the Old Testament that we're to give God the first fruits? And we have the example in Elijah where he told the widow, okay, yeah, there's a famine and you're about to die because you don't have any food, so go make me a cake first. And then God's going to make that oil last miraculously during the famine, and it did. But first she had to make something for God's man, which sounded kind of selfish at the time, but he was teaching a principle. God's first. So first is the first. And then secondly, it says the first day of the week, which means systematically we're to be giving. So we're not only to be giving God first, but we're to be giving God regularly. Because the week comes every week. So it doesn't mean a one-off. It means every week. Right? Now some people get paid every other week or every month or whatever, and that's fine. But we see right off the bat, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So the second thing we have here is that it's to be geographic. Notice he mentions the churches, the word churches. This is a church thing. Now, I know we all know of Christians that would prefer to tithe to some guy on the internet or some extra church organization. But I think God has made it clear that it's to be to your local church. And if you understand the Malachi principle about tithing, what does he say? Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, right? And prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that shall not be room enough to receive it. So God wants us to do it, God first, systematically, but we're to bring them to the Lord, not mail them to the Lord. That makes sense? Especially if you look at the Old Testament. What happened? Abraham gave them personally, face to face, to Melchizedek. He didn't mail the tithes to Melchizedek. And I know they didn't have mail the way we have it today, but still, When you think about the Malachi passage, he says, bring them to the storehouse. And I think here that just verifies it, that it's to be. Well, let's look at the passage, Malachi 3, and keep your place here in 1 Corinthians 16. And so we're just understanding the tithe tonight, since God's made it clear that it is pre-law, and that systematic giving is scriptural for Christians. So Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Now I understand that a lot of the tithes in the Old Testament weren't money. If a person was a farmer, they would bring one-tenth of the wheat, say, or whatever it was that they farmed. So they didn't bring money, they would bring the actual one-tenth of whatever it was that they were producing. Now over time, that kind of deteriorated into money, and that's how you end up with, when Jesus came on the scene, you end up with all this money changing going on. And when Jesus overturned all the money changers' tables and said, you've made it to den of thieves instead of a house of prayer, what was going on is because some people were having to travel such long distances to the temple to give to the Lord, that what they would instead would do it through money. And they would exchange and get money in return for whatever it was. And these people were using it as a way to make money. And that was what Jesus was upset about, was that they had turned it into a profit scheme, helping people exchange their tithe for cash. Or in the case of traveling a long distance, they would bring cash and then buy a turtle dove or buy a lamb instead of carry it, you know, for 17 days to the temple. They'd come and they'd buy one. And they were overcharging for these sacrifices. So it was both ways that they were cheating. But anyway, storehouse. They had to bring them to the storehouse. I believe God wants us to bring ours to the storehouse. He says that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, and shall not be room enough to receive it. So initially, systematically, and geographically. And then fourthly, they'll go back to 1 Corinthians 16. And this is important because, again, if you're going to run across somebody that says they don't believe in the tithe, don't argue too hard about it. Just remind them that we live in the age of grace. And grace is greater than the law. So maybe they should give 20% instead. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 16:2, as God hath prospered him. So I'll use the word proportionally. God's giving has always been this way. There's not a graduated scale like we have in our most tax systems. It doesn't matter if a person makes $100 a week or $10,000 a week. God wants it to be proportional, as God hath prospered him. And that's always been the way God set it up, and that is why he used a tithe to do it. Because he wanted each person to be able to trust God to take care of them with the 90% by giving him the 10. And believing that God can take care of you with the 90 better than we can take care of ourselves with 100. And yes, it's a step of faith. From a worldly perspective, it's foolish to give away 10% of your income. But from a biblical perspective, it's a step of faith. Saying, well, this is what God wants me to do. God tells me in Malachi that if I don't do it, I'm robbing God. So I'm better off to obey God and have God take care of me than to rob God and God have to withhold the blessings because I'm robbing him. But again, it's a step of faith. And God knows that our hearts are attached to our wallets. He knows that's how it works. So proportionately, and if you go to 2 Corinthians 8, we'll see another statement about the fact that it was to be proportional. As God hath prospered him, some people make more than others. That's the way life works. Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. But he wanted everybody to give proportionately as God had prospered him. Notice 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12. It says, for if there first be a willing mind, It is accepted according to the man that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now what Paul is talking, he's telling the Corinthians, if you look on up, that their offering had been a help to some of the churches that were suffering. And they had sent it through Paul to them to be a blessing and a help to them. And he's saying, but I don't want it to only be that you're burdened, because there could come a time when your church comes under intense persecution and a lot of your people lose their jobs and don't have a way to buy food. And then the church that's helping, that you're helping now, they'll be helping you. He says things could turn around like that. And, you know, on a national scale, they have, haven't they? When you think back, where did missions, as we understand it today, really take off in England? There was a time when they were sending out the most missionaries, sending them to America, sending them all around the world. Now, they're a mission field. And people are sending missionaries to England. So that's kind of how Paul's explaining it from a church perspective and from a personal perspective. But the point is, it's proportional. So it's a beautiful passage about Melchizedek and his great priesthood, and how it's greater than the Levitical priesthood. But embedded in there is this additional great truth that tithing was happening before the law. And that the Lord Jesus Christ commended tithing, as we read. And therefore, as we read in 1 Corinthians 16, God wants every Christian to take part in the blessed act of worship through giving. And it is worship. In the Old Testament, it's likened to worship. And as he tells us here, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So what a blessing that Levi paid tithes in Abraham to Melchizedek. What a great lesson. We're going to look more in Hebrews chapter 7 next week at some other great truths, but this was a good lesson for our understanding of the tithe. Let's pray. Lord, I